Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. As you turn into the book of Judges, well, just want to make note that we'll continue our study, and I feel like finish it up tonight, at least come to a conclusion, and I feel like maybe if we come back at some other time, it would be good, but at least for now, that we'll finish it up, our study on being in one accord, the importance of being in one accord, but not just to be in one accord just so that everybody can, you know, get along and be happy and, you know, there's no arguments, but be in one accord in the Lord, in the name of the Lord. You can be in one accord and be wrong. And so we certainly want to be in one accord in a way that we would have great power, especially being the body of Christ, the church. We want to have His power here. You know, you think about a soul being saved. Soul does not get saved just by chance. A soul does not get saved because, you know, everybody's singing and happy. A soul gets saved because of the power of God. It's through the power of God. And we know that the gospel is the power of God to everyone that believeth. And so we want to see that power here. We want to see, when we talk about revival, we don't just want to have a week of meeting. But as a church, we want to have a great spiritual reviving. And that takes the power of the Holy Spirit. So we want to have His power here with us. And to be in one accord in the name of the Lord, there's great power in that. Judges chapter 3, verse 12. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger, which had two edges of cubit's length. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. And when he was made an end to offering the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the half also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly. And the dirt came out. Then Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. When he was gone out, his servants came, and when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed, and behold, he opened not the door of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them. And behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped unto Zerith. And he said, it came to pass, when he was come, that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 40 years. We'll cease reading. The next verse kind of opens up an entirely different line of thought, so we'll stop there. But I want us to first notice this. When we begin reading this passage of Scripture, that the children of Israel seem to be in one accord, but in the wrong manner. They were all doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Can you imagine that? All of God's people, seemingly, you know, all together, they're all doing the same thing, but none of them pleased the Lord. And so, notice this about the power. I mentioned how that when we're in one accord in the name of the Lord, that there's great power. Notice where the power shifts. If you'll go back and look at verse 12, you'll find there's a power shift here. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab. So, boy, that sure is interesting, and it sure is scary. When you stop and you consider what just took place right here. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. And again, when it's not the will of God, it's better to stand alone. So not always does God require us to be in one accord. Whenever God's people do not stand for the right thing, it would be better, and there's power in standing alone against that. You know, I think about Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, didn't he? And he did that, Brother Joey, in a time where the world, universally, all the imaginations and of men's hearts were on evil continually. I know the New Testament tells us they were marrying and giving in marriage and just going about doing whatever pleased them. Everybody seemed content, everybody seemed happy, but except for God. And you had Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So he turned to the Lord in a time when nobody else would. So when it comes to being in one accord, it's more important to be centered in the Word of God. However, we do want to look at being in one accord because there's great power when we all come together. So notice this, because it was not the will of God that Israel was together on, they were not empowered, but instead, again in verse 12, God strengthened Eglon, the enemy of his people. Again, that's a very scary thought, that God would strengthen the enemy against his own people. So why would God do that? Well, God wants us to be righteous. God wants us to keep our eyes on Him, and He can do whatever He wants. He created us, and He created the world, and so He's able to use whatever pleases Him to get us to look to Him. And notice it did its job. It had its intended purpose, because all of a sudden they began to call out to the Lord. 18 years now that they're in bondage, and they're serving old Eglon, the big fat king. They're serving him, but they begin to call out to the Lord. So it's having its effect. You know, we know this, if God be for us, who can be against us? But on the other side of that, if God is against us, what in the world can we do? If we all unite together, we'll still be overtaken if God is against us. So they begin to call out to the Lord, and the Lord hears their voice. And God raises up a deliverer, this assassin. And I tell you, when I read it, you can just about see that movie, can't you? As you read this passage, you just about see the movie. I mean, my mind comes in HD. Just about, I can see it happening. And you've got this assassin. He's made him a dagger, is about 18 inches up. A cubic length, so about 18 inches maybe. That's at least the best guess we have. About 18 inches long, so very, very long two-edged dagger. And he's concealed it, and he goes in and he sticks that thing all the way in the man's belly, and the handle and all goes in, and the fat closes up over the handle. So God's got this man Ehud, he's an assassin, and he got the job done. He took care of this enemy. I heard a preacher on radio, he preached this, that the fat man has to die. And he equated that fat man with, you know, our enemies, our spiritual enemies, and we've got to put that to death. And so the fat man had to die. Notice this in verse 27. This is really the burden that I have tonight concerning us being in one accord. Verse 27, and it came to pass when he was come that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him. So, you have here God's people that had rebelled against the Lord. They did what they wanted to do, but now they've called out to the Lord and God has sent help. He sent them a deliverer. And now they have responded to the trumpet. What in the world would get us back in one accord if we're not? We're not in one accord. What would bring us in one accord? Well, I've got this idea, preacher. Everybody's got ideas. Well, we ought to try this. Again, everybody can come up with good ideas. But there's something that God has given us that can bring an entire church, entire group of His people into one accord. God's people responded to the trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, God's people are responsible to hear and to respond. They came together in one accord and they listened to the message that God had for them and they took up arms to go to war against their enemies. So the trumpet brought them together. That's what I want you to think about tonight. The trumpet brings God's people together. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 15. Ezekiel is told to go to his people and deliver a message, but he does not have the message yet. He's just gone to be with the people. Verse 15. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib that dwelt by the river of Chebar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. So he just sits there. He don't say a word. He just sits there. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days. Get this if you're taking notes. That the word of the Lord came unto me saying. That's what does us good. The word of the Lord. And if you don't have the word of the Lord, you don't have power. You don't have anything that's going to do anybody any good. But now, after 7 days, the word of the Lord comes to him. Now he has something to say, and that's powerful. Verse 17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. And thou givest him not warning, nor speak it to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live. Because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. Now you remember Paul charged Timothy, he said, preach the word. Preach it in season, preach it out of season. There's going to be a time when people don't like it. There's going to be a time when it's not popular. He said, preach it anyway. It's going to come to a time where people are going to have itching ears and they're going to want to hear things that just tickle them. But you just continue to deliver the word. Deliver my message. Preach the word. So here, Ezekiel, you go, and if I give you a message to the lost, it's your responsibility to deliver it. If you don't do it, I'm going to require their blood at your hands. If you deliver it, at least you did your part. You took care of what you need to, and now they have to do their part. If I give you a message to go and try to correct someone that's backslidden, maybe a saved person, but they have rebelled or they've gotten out of fellowship with God, he says, you go, it's your responsibility to go tell them, to give them that message. But now, once you've done that, you've cleared your hands. Son of man, I've made you a watchman. You might, in other words, you got to be there and you got to warn, you got to blow the trumpet. You are the first line of defense. Now, I'm going to speak about the office of pastor, and I know I currently hold that office here at Clear Branch. When a pastor, whoever holds the office, my name's not important, except that I do hold that office currently. But whoever holds it, when a pastor is instructed to feed the flock of God, he has evermore been loaded down with some responsibility to watch for souls. See, God sends a message to his church. It's what you pray for. I hope that's what you're praying for. God send a message. Use Brother Brad. And I'm just here as the mouthpiece. No more important than anybody else here. But just the mouthpiece to bring God's message to you. And so when I have it, I'm sitting there and I'm studying. I got a lot of responsibility. And a lot of times, family, can we go do this? Can we do that? And I said, no, I got to study. And they just kind of, you know, study. A lot of times. No, they respectful most of the time. But that is a great responsibility. I've got to receive the message. I've got to have it. I've got to prepare it. And that is a load of responsibility. But listen to this now. Whenever I relay it, I just transferred that responsibility to you. You have that responsibility now. Of course, I do as well. But you have that responsibility. Whatever it is, if the Lord preaches to the lost, I bring the message to the lost. If you're lost, you've received it. It's your responsibility. I can't make you take it. If it's to the saved, whatever it is, this morning was kind of encouraging message, trying to, you know, get us to be a little more zealous toward the will of God. And I bring it to you. Now it's your responsibility to be zealous toward the will of God. And so that load has evermore, it's a load whether you want to accept it or not. But now it's on you. And as we respond to God's message, it brings us into one accord, because God's will is never against itself. It's always in unity. The Lord is always in unity. His will is not for you to do one thing and I fight against it. Or you do one thing and I'm not even concerned about God's will. But rather, we're to respond. God brings us into one accord. And that is a very, very powerful thing. And the devil knows that. Our enemy knows that. He knows when God's church is in one accord and we're praying together and we're seeking the will of God together and we're focusing on the Word of God together, that there's great power in that. So no wonder we have all these blessings today. All these things that, you know, we got to have. All these different things we got to pay for. All these different things that distract us all the time. The devil knows. If we get real serious about the Word of God. And what's our whole quarter Sunday school has been about Psalms 119. Focusing on the Word of God. throughout the year, we have other men come and just focus on the Word of God. Focus on God's Word. So, Israel rebelled. God strengthened the enemy against them to open their eyes. Israel begins to suffer, to be in bondage, their freedom taken away from them. And what do? They begin to cry out to God. And God, being merciful, wonderful, loving, He sends them somebody to deliver. But it was their responsibility to respond to the trumpet. Look at Ezekiel 33. Verse 1. Ezekiel 33 and verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he see the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He hear the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So again, there's that load of responsibility for the watchman. And that watchman is, he's responsible for blowing the trumpet. There's so much richness in these passages of Scripture that we've read this evening, but I'm trying to remain on task of the thought that you know, our study, that we can be in one accord. How we respond to God's Word is what brings us and keeps us in one accord. There is so much power in that. This is where God receives glory, in the church. That church that is standing as the pillar for the truth. And I'm so thankful that being part of Clear Branch, not just as pastor, but as a member here, that this church stands for the truth. But I want to encourage us that we do it even more so in every day of our life, more and more, drawing closer to Him every day. God's Word is what has power on this whole earth. And it's what help us all to be in one accord like we should. So, again, this is where the power's at. This is where God receives the glory. So, you say, well, you talked about the preacher tonight and his responsibility. Well, look, I know we did. And when you think of the watchman, more often than not, we think of the pastor. But let me give you an example where it's not. Whenever Lot received word to go to his family and tell them that destruction's coming, what did God do? God loaded him up with responsibility. Lot, you're responsible for going to tell your family. And he goes and he tells his family. He's dragging his feet. And he goes to those sons-in-law. And he tells them. And whenever he tells them what he done, he took his responsibility. And now he's put it to them and on their shoulders, and now they bear that responsibility. But the sad thing is that they think he's just joking. They think he is a joke. They think he's just mocking. You see, his family didn't respect the trumpet because they didn't respect the one that sounded it. very important that we maintain our testimony for others, that we maintain our integrity, that when somebody sees us and hears us blow the trumpet, that they respond to it. So we need to pray one for another that we can live up to and be good representatives of God's Word. When it's all been said and when it's all been done, we will be judged not by what everybody else thinks, not by what our social standing is, not by how much money we've got, not by, you know, how well we lived in this life, but we'll be judged by this Word. And if it's in here, better pay attention to it. If it's not in here, I don't think we got to worry about it all that much. There's a lot of traditions of men out there that are imposed on us a lot of times. If it's not in here, it's not that important. This is what's important. So I know this, that we could probably spend many weeks or even months on a study like this, but I feel like we've kind of come to somewhat of a close for now. I want to give you some verses, though, especially if you take in some notes that you can study for yourself. It just goes along with the thought. But Ephesians chapter 4, there you have the body being fitly joined together. It's important that we are fitly, we understand that we're the body of Christ. We fitly joined together. Ephesians chapter 5, we're members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Psalms 133. Speaks of brethren that dwell together in unity. What a blessing when we dwell together in unity. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. There, and very interesting there in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and I usually preach that at a wedding, but it speaks of one being overtaken, but two, they have a little more strength, and threefold cord, not quickly broken. You see how he's adding one, and one more, and one more. A church full of members as the body of Christ, when we're all together, I'm going to tell you, that's powerful. There's great power in that. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And one more, Nehemiah chapter 8. And I'm going to close with this, but God's people were emotionally all over the place because of what they were seeing. Things being restored and didn't look like it used to look. And it just emotionally, you had some, they're crying, some is laughing, some rejoicing, some's worshiping. Just emotionally all over the place. And so the Lord sent His Word. And His Word was, you don't have permission from God to be sorrowful. He said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And He instructs them, today is a day of rejoicing. In other words, dried up. We're going to all be in one accord. We're going to rejoice together. God's Word has power. You see how it corrected that? Just all over the place. So many different thoughts, so many different emotions. And God's Word says, whoop, here we are. We're going to have joy together. Lord, fix that. The Lord can do the same thing for us, and I'm thankful I feel like we are in one accord as a church. But let's pray that we can draw closer and closer to the Lord. We'll ask for some.